The time, 6:45 p.m., Sunday evening, November 24th. The cover of night had come peacefully to Washington. The body of John F. Kennedy had been mournfully borne through the streets of the nation's capital and solemnly lay in state in the rotunda of the huge Capitol building. I waited in line that Sunday, and as I paid my respects to the late president, I thought about the events of the past evening. There were many things. The brisk, cold Washington weather, cold that you didn't mind at first, but later seemed to settle in your bones and chill you clean through. I remember the faces of countless policemen, the sound of their voices. Yes, sir, the line is 22 blocks long. No, I don't know how long it will take. Please keep moving. Yes, the line was long. At one time, it stretched to 30 blocks with people 15 or 20 abreast on the sidewalk, often spilling into the streets. I remember the people, the young, the old, the wealthy, the poor. I remember seeing the babies in their father's arms, the young children riding piggyback, all bundled in layers of winter clothing, all coming to pay their respects to John F. Kennedy. I remember standing in the long line, the line shaped like a huge horseshoe, stretching for blocks in a direction away from the Capitol, winding around a park and heading back toward the Capitol building. Hours later, as we wound through that park, the line now faced the Capitol. There was to me then a moment of irony as we stood in Lincoln Park, as it is called, stood under a statue of Abraham Lincoln. The statue, as I remember it, Emancipation. And Lincoln was freeing a young colored man from the chains of slavery. That statue faces the Capitol, and somehow on that night seemed to come alive with meaning. The night air was shrill with the wail of sirens as people fainted, became ill, or fell down. As we neared the Capitol, one ambulance rushed away bearing a woman who was about to have a baby. Ahead of us at the Capitol, Mrs. John F. Kennedy had come once again to be with her husband. After a few moments in the rotunda, Mrs. Kennedy and the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, emerged from the brightly lit building. Not many people were aware of the fact that she was there. A few saw her, murmured sympathies. Mrs. Kennedy stopped for a moment to talk with a group of Catholic nuns in the line, then left by car. After 8 hours in line, we finally stood on the steps of the Capitol building, a building bathed in white light. Slowly, we walked up the steps, through the entrance, passing through a room filled with floral bouquets, flowers from the government of West Germany, from the King of Sweden, from various clubs and organizations. And then, the rotunda. The first thing that struck me was the blinding glare of the television lights. After my eyes became accustomed to the glare, they focused on the casket in the center of the rotunda. The body of the president lay in a closed mahogany casket atop the catafalque. Some people, as they passed, bowed their heads in deep prayer. Some wept. Many, once they had passed the flag-draped casket, for some reason did not look back, but continued on through another flower-bedecked room, down the steps, and out into the cold night air. The outer rim of the rotunda was lined with platforms bearing television cameras and reporters, and with the exception of that brief, blinding moment on entering, no one seemed to notice them. In perhaps the space of 1 minute, just 1 minute, we had been ushered through the rotunda, and in that moment, somehow had managed to pay our respects to John F. Kennedy. A long, cold, and unforgettable night. A night in which many Americans turned to their loved ones, their neighbors, friends, even sought out perfect strangers to remark, "I just can't believe it." And even after the events of this Sunday night, I find it hard to believe, too. This is Bob Welch, WQMR News.